You're listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
Down to three on the play clock. Snap to O'Connell. Chiefs bring four over the middle. Wide open there at the 15. Myers breaks a tackle at the five, and he's in. Touchdown, Raiders. Jacoby Myers with a slant right over the middle, and Aiden O'Connell caps off a perfect opening drive with a 19-yard touchdown pass to Jacoby Myers.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
So 702-365-9200, when we get it all said and done, it'll be one number for everything, one-stop shop. Call, text, whatever the case may be, that'll be the number. So as soon as that happens, we'll definitely let you know about that, but very excited about that. Just a little bit of a tweak and an upgrade we're making to the Finley Cadillac Performance Studios and, of course, our Raider Nation listener line and how you can get a hold of us on the daily. With that being said, Adam Hill, 2:30, Paloma Villacana, 3:30, and Trevor Lane, LakersNation.com at 4 o'clock. Let's go ahead and jump into the opening drive.
The opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, is brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Off top, before we really get into the opening drive, Sir Whiskey Ray did hit us up on the don't be broke.com text line talking about UNLV, talking about San Jose State. He said, Q, we aren't too happy what the computer rankings came up with after our victory over UNLV. Just kidding. It's real. Sincerely, San Jose State Spartans. So the San Jose State Spartans, they did get the victory over UNLV last week in Allegiant Stadium. And, well, UNLV is still hosting the Mountain West Championship game. And so, yeah, the computer ranking stuff, I'm not a big fan of any of that thing. Maybe that's why I'm a big fan of the NFL, where it's like, hey, heads up. You win, you move on. You lose, you're out. Simple as that. But this is what, you know, college football has to work with right now, and this is what they're working with as far as the tiebreaker win in the Mountain West. And so UNLV moves on, Boise State moves on, San Jose State does not. But I do appreciate the feedback, Sir Whiskey Ray. It's always good to hear from you. And I'll tell you what, San Jose State, man, they might have thrown the blueprint out there, right? I mean, they ran, and they ran some more. If UNLV can't figure out how to slow down and stop the run game of Boise State, it might be a long day at the office. They can't figure that out. So, yeah, San Jose State went in there and balled out. But focusing back on the silver and black, I always like to bring a topic to the table. And, of course, you can always shift and go in any direction that you want to, because we always love and appreciate the feedback that we get here on the show. Again, 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line 69187, keyword R&R, just like Sir Whiskey Ray hit us up. So I know it's not midseason. I realize this, right, because the Raiders have played 12 games. This is actually week 13. It's very late in the season to have a bye. But I do want to ask, what grade would you give the Raiders basically on their midseason report card? Because this is their break. This is like their semester break. Again, it's not midseason. I know. And there's been a lot of ups and downs. I know. But what grade would you give them looking at the way that this season has gone, looking at what happened? And I'm talking about the whole season. I'm talking about what happened in the first handful of games leading up to the firing of Josh McDaniels right after the Lions Monday Night Football game. That was what? The first eight games of the season? What was that? Was that eight games of the season that they played? I don't even know where they were at. They were, when McDaniels got fired, there was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, that was week 8. They were 3-5 at that point. Right now, since then, they're 2-2. And we know how many games they have left to go. Right, so they got a handful of games left to go, five more games after they come back from the bye. So I want you to take that into consideration. Like, I just want you to really look at the season in as a whole, because that's all you can do. You can't start over and say, yeah, well, you know, since Antonio Pierce, yeah, what, doesn't matter. It's the whole season. It's what it is right now. It's the reason why you're 5-7. Right? Again, he's done well as far as I'm concerned. Won the games that he was supposed to win and didn't win the two tough games. But it looks like the team is playing better. But all in all, how would you kind of summarize what you have seen so far in 2023 from the Silver and Black through 12 games? That's the question that I throw out there. I think it's a little bit more challenging than just focusing in on the last couple of weeks. So hit us up at 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line, as I mentioned, 69187, keyword R&R. Let's see. Mailman Raider said, no more keyword R&R. That'll take some getting used to. LOL, that's a force of habit for me. I know. I know, but it'll be a lot more easier when you have one number to work on, and that's all. That's going to be huge. And believe me, you'll appreciate that a whole lot more. You won't have to worry about putting in any kind of word. All you got to do is hit up whatever phone line you want to call or you want to text. It is all good. So I'll start things off as far as talking about the grades and just the way I've seen. And I don't want to cop out and say incomplete because we haven't seen the rest of it. So I'm not going to do that. I would have to say it's got to be around a C minus, right? Because I feel like the beginning, but it was heavy. Heavy McDaniels, right? The first eight games was McDaniels, and that had to be around a D at least, right? You'd have to say it's at least a D, and I would have to say that I think Antonio Pierce, what he's done in the last four games, would be around a C plus. So if you're gonna average that out, what are you, a C minus or a D? I mean, is that how you would average that out, Ari? I mean, what are you thinking when if that's fair, if that's what you're calling it, if you're calling it a D, and then a C. Is that a what would you call that? How would you kind of
like a C plus? I mean, I'm sorry, C minus.
I would think so, right? I think it would be right around that level, right?
I mean, I guess if you want to be obviously, Tuesday, you could say D plus.
Yeah, I would think it would be at least a C minus slash D plus, and obviously there's room to grow. That's the whole point. There's still room to grow because you have five games. So that's the good thing. You know, I mean, you know when you got bad grades in school, and I did it all the time. You had a bad grade in school, and then all of a sudden the teacher's like, yeah, but if you do really well on this project, that could bring it up real quick. That used to be what I used to tell my mom. Like, hey, don't worry. With this project, the teacher said if I get this on my test, then I'll bring that grade right up. Well, most more times than not, I didn't get that because if I wasn't going to do it all year long, why am I all of a sudden going to do it out of nowhere? But these are different circumstances. So I feel like that you've got to say that if I'm looking at the team as a whole, they're probably sitting there around a C minus or a D plus with five games left to go. Obviously, there's room to improve. Now, with that being said, there's room to get worse.
Yeah, but there's more extra credit. I'll run with the theme here. There's like he could get some extra credit. I mean, he could have by beating the Dolphins or the Chiefs. And so, I mean, there's some situations to – I don't know. I look forward to having a higher grade than a D minus, but I was or a D, whatever you want to call it. But I was kind of down there too in that area. And in fact, when you said including all the earlier parts, I immediately kind of my head went to an F because it was really an S show for a while.
I mean, you can say that. You can say that. So you know, if you feel like it's an F, say it was an F at first.
Yeah, at first. I mean, collectively though, now. I'm looking forward and I'm making assumptions based on what's right in front of me. So yeah, mm-hmm. I'd probably go closer to. I think you just gave him what, a C plus or a C minus.
I'll give him a C minus because all in all, I gave it a D. I didn't give the first eight games an F, and this is why, because I thought the defense was playing well enough to win games. And I had that argument here on the show, even though some people didn't want to hear it. I argued it for plenty of weeks that I thought the defense was doing well enough to keep them in games and win. The offense was an F. Okay. There's no doubt about that. But the team, which is what I'm talking about, which I'm focusing in on, wasn't. The defense was playing well, and they were building up, and now they're obviously playing better. So that's why I didn't give the first eight games an F. Hell, even the guy who's no longer on the team, Marcus Peters, made a play in that Detroit game, took it to the house, kept them in the game. Look how many games they were still in early in the season. They just couldn't find a way to score. So that's why I don't want to just completely, you know, say that it was an absolute fail. And now a D's not much better, don't get me wrong, right? But it's showing that there's something there. Hell, if you want to really go on a stretch, you could say that the defense was good enough to get a C- early in the season, if you really want to stretch it a little bit.
I mean, would you call them above average? Because honestly, you know.
I think so.
I think so, too. So I mean,
I think they were at least average. I think their defense was at least average.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at one point they were giving up, what, 19 points a game? That's fine. You should be able to win a lot of games in the league at that point. But you couldn't score 20 points. That was the thing. So, I can't praise the defense and not, you know, poo-poo on the offense because the offense wasn't living up to their end of the bargain, which still to this day blows my mind.
Yeah.
Even now, even though I know what the offense looks like, it still blows my mind.
I'm also going to go with a weird analogy because I love analogies, but the SATs, right?
Shocking.
You have math,
okay,
and you have basically grammar, we'll call it, or English,
okay,
whatever.
Okay.
I mean, those two things are, I believe, I haven't taken them forever, but I think they kind of are split down the middle. So like in one, if you're terrible at math, I'm just really bad at math, but you're really good at English, mm-hmm, you still only end up with like, you know, whatever, 900 or 1,000 or whatever the scores are these days. Out of 1,600 is a perfect score. So my point
I
is,
ain't never
is
taken
like,
SAT, I couldn't tell you.
All I'm saying to complete this weird analogy, it'll make sense.
Yeah,
in a
I don't
second.
Know, man. you still, lost me on SAT.
I'm basically saying they didn't win the games either way, whether the defense was above average or even very good.
Right.
So I mean, ultimately, it's hard to give them a passing.
So
grade,
you're just going on wins and losses.
I'm going on everything you're saying. You make a great point about splitting up the defense played above average, but at the end of the day, regardless, what's the outcome is.
That's fair. That's fine. And that's why I throw the question out there. No, that's fine. You're right. I mean, guys don't get fired if you're not winning games, right? I mean, if you're winning a bunch of games, guys aren't going to get fired. I mean, that's as simple as that. So that's if you know, you just want to put it all and boil it down into one pot, you can do that.
I'll also
like I said.
One other thing to add is that, yes, they had several games, especially in the beginning, that they absolutely should have, could have won. And did not. So, I mean, if you kind of count that as – you could have passed the test if you studied more. It's kind of
right,
the same
exactly.
logic. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and look, I mean, at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. Wins and losses are all that matters. I get that. I'm just looking at the team in general because at the end of the day, you've got to be able to build off of, okay, what do you have, what do you do well, and what don't you do well? So I'm breaking it down like layer by layer. It's almost like if we're going to continue with the school theme, and why not? If we're going to continue with the school theme, it's like, okay, Q needs help in math. He's not good in math, but his speaking skills are strong. So we don't have to give him an advanced, you know, speaking class. What we need to do is learn. He needs to learn how to add, right?
That's true.
Or whatever the case may be,
yeah.
Right? And so, okay, so I'm looking at the team in general and saying, all right, the defense I feel like has been good and getting better all season long, and they still have holes to fill. But they've been getting better. They've been giving the team a chance. Now, the offense hasn't held up their end of the bargain. I think that they would all say that. And I'm sure that they're all angry about that because there's too much talent, too much money invested on the offense to not be able to do what they were able to do.
Amen.
Right? You bring in the quarterback, he's now on the bench. Right? You have Davante Adams, and he obviously wants more targets. You have the former leading rusher in the league in Josh Jacobs, and obviously he needs more touches. Right? He feels like, I mean, hell, even after the game on Sunday, he said, hey, I feel fine. Right? Talking about the bye week, he's like, I'm good. Right? Just ready to go out there and ball. I just complimented the hell out of Jacoby Myers. He's been a great compliment. Hunter Renfrow was on the back of a milk carton forever. Michael Mayer is starting to work himself into action as a rookie tight end. So there's something there to look at. But all in all, the offense has not lived up to the billing of what we all expected. I thought it was going to be exactly opposite. The offense was going to thrive, and the defense was going to try to work their way into a lather and try to catch up. It's been exactly the opposite. And that's why I break it down into units where you don't have to, right? I mean, you can look at it, and again, keeping with the school theme, and I feel like I excelled in school or something as much as I'm talking about it. You know, it's like, all right, unit. Now what does it all boil down to? Right? At the end of the day, it all still boils down to the same pot where it's not good. There's a reason why they're sitting there at the record that they are at 5-7, trying to figure out how to get back into, you know, the win column when they come out of the bye week. But there's certain areas that you like. There's certain things that you like. Me personally, I really like what I've seen from the defense, and I honestly really like what I've seen from AJ Cole. I think he's played at an even higher level this year than he has. And we all know he's a Pro Bowl punter, but this dude has been punting out of his mind. And maybe that's a bad thing because the offense has him out there punting. But he's been doing a hell of a job flipping the field. So I think there's something there to that as well. Again, not trying to, you know, put lipstick on a pig. It's still a pig. But I don't mind breaking it down and looking at different units and seeing what excelled and what didn't excel and how they can improve. I think that's a healthy way to look at things. And I think that's something that they're probably doing during the bye week. Okay, this is what we did really well. This is what we didn't do really well. How can we come out of this bye week and do what we didn't do really well, and do it at a much higher rate? At least that's what I think, and I expect them to be doing. We'll see. They've got 5 weeks. I think it's a great time for the coaches who are thrown into the fire to actually be able to breathe a little bit and not have to stress and sweat over having to prepare for a team coming in. I mean, they have had no breaks since they took over November 1st. And if you remember, November 1st was what, a Wednesday? They got back to action and practice on Thursday? So, I mean, they were already up against it. Their backs were against the wall when they were preparing for the Giants. They were lucky it was the Giants. They literally had a couple days to prepare, go out and play. Boom. And they haven't stopped since. And so at least now they actually get a chance to take a deep breath as they kind of look back at what they've done, what they did well, what they've done should have done better. Right? And I think that the coaching, I think you need to put some, you know, some emphasis on the coaching. where the coaching did well, where they excelled at, where they didn't. And I think Antonio Pierce is still growing. So I wouldn't give him a huge passing grade because there's been some in-game decisions that I think we all look at and we all question. You know, I mean, a couple challenges that have been thrown, it was like, yeah, probably not a good challenge. Couple, you know, decisions not to go for it in certain situations, probably not a good decision. Couple decisions to go for it in certain positions, probably wasn't a good decision either, right? I mean, it's hard, man. It's hard to be a head coach in the league and have to be that decision maker when everything is real. It's easy as I'm sitting here in Studio Q and say, hey, go for it on this fourth down. It makes more sense. But when it's real and the clock is ticking and the players are looking over at the sideline, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I'm trying to remember who brought that point up. Was it Ed or was it Amber? It might have been Amber Theo Harris who brought it up when we were talking about the missed field goal by Daniel Carlson and there was hesitation from Antonio Pierce on what they were going to do at that moment. And Aiden O'Connell was still on the field, and he hadn't come off yet for fourth down because they hadn't decided if they're going to go for it or if they were going to kick the field goal. And with kickers, they're creatures of habit. They're routine guys, right? They have to know their routine. So when you hesitate, you study long, you study wrong. That's what we always say. He studied long, and then they rushed Carlson out there, and then he got to rush through his motion. I'm not trying to make an excuse for him missing a 30-yard field goal, but – you have to understand there's a process to all this. So I think that little slight hesitation from Antonio Pierce to make the call to even kick that field goal could have played a factor. And I'm not too sure. I wish I knew exactly who it was that pointed that out. I'd love to give them credit for it. But I think it was Amber Theo Harris when we had her on the show on Monday, but I'm not 100% sure. So.
Yeah, something about making a split-second decision that is extremely impactful. And, you know, right. You and I in radio, we make split-second decisions on the fly all the time, but it's like the result, the worst possible result is nowhere near – you know, what these guys are up against and the magnitude of it in-game, in the middle of a game. So, yeah, it's probably not a fun thing to do on the spot. unless you nail the call, and then it's the most fun thing ever, you know.
Right. Okay, how about this? On the don'tbebroke.com text line, got a ton of feedback. We appreciate it. Kobe from Kansas City said, hey, Q, man, I started by saying C- to a C, then I talked myself into a C to a C+. I say that because with Josh McDaniels, it was like an F-. Jimmy G, the offensive general, the feeling around the team, actually most of the feeling around the team, it was all bad. But the switch to a fourth-round rookie, new head coach and play caller, etc., they've done what was expected the last four games, and at least now they're exciting to watch, LOL. And C for me is still pretty bad. I was a decent student and got grounded for getting C's. Thanks, Dad, LOL. All right, thanks, Q. That's from Kobe in Kansas City. I'll tell you what, Kobe. Man, Mama Q and Papa Q would have been happy if they saw C's on my report card. I would have been happy. I'd have done a backflip if I had C's on my report card. And I was actually a good student when I was young. It's when I got to high school and I thought I knew everything is when I was a terrible student. So, yeah, man, C's are they're passing.
You're one of right? them. You know, if he would just apply himself more.
Oh, man. I was.
That young
I
man would be a great student.
You know what? I was the poster child for that statement right there. If he just applied himself, Same. He would be good. You know how many times I heard that in school? I heard that a million times. You know, he would just apply himself. He'd be fine. And at some point, it was like, okay, but he's not going to. You get it. He's not going. No matter how many kumbaya meetings we have, no matter how many little contracts you have him sign, he is not going to apply himself. He just don't. He don't do school, right? Some guys, they don't math. They don't do this, that, and the other. These guys don't do school. That was me. It just wasn't me. I couldn't do it.
It all worked
Raider
out.
Dad Bod said, I give him a D because the record does not reflect the talent on this roster. A lot of games they should have won. Speak of talent, I don't see Booker and the Suns having any issues against the Lakers. He plays very well in L.A. Raider Dad Bod for got you with a 2-for-1 right there. Got you with the in-season tournament when it came to the Lakers and the Suns as they'll be squaring up. That's looking exciting, man. I'm looking forward to that in-season tournament. And then he gives them a D for the talent that's on the roster. And he said because the record does not reflect the talent on the roster, they should have won. They should have, would have, could have. But they didn't. So keep that feedback coming. I like it, man. 69187, keyword R&R. I know it's not midseason. I get that. They've already played 12 games. But what would be the grade that you give the Raiders? Give us the breakdown of it. You know, why are you giving them this grade? Is it overall? Is it about wins and losses? Is it breaking it up into units like I did, defense and offense and special teams? What's the case? Let us know. Again, 69187, keyword R&R. When we don't have a guest, you can give us a call at 702-365-9200. But we do have a guest coming up next. Adam Hill from the RJ and ESPN Las Vegas joins us next on Raider Nation Radio 920.
That was the opening drive of Unnecessary Roughness on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. brought to you by Paul Padilla. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by PortaSubs. Make sure you check out PortaSubs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area PortaSubs, neighborhood sandwich shops, order ahead at PortaSubs.com.
O'Connell the snap. Chiefs bring just 4. Steps into the throw. Deep down the field on the right side. And it's caught. Jacoby Myers laid out for it at the 20. He reached out and grabbed it over McDuffie's shoulder on a huge play. 33 yards right down the right sideline.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
My man Ari's got a Jacoby Myers theme going today on the show. He had himself a hell of a game, so I don't blame you for having Jacoby Myers theme. I mean, he came up with some big plays, obviously that first touchdown, but some nice pitch and catches from Aiden O'Connell to Jacoby Myers, and there was one that was down the sideline where the ball just went right over the defender's head into the hands of Jacoby Myers along the sideline. I thought that was a really good one as well, and if history repeats itself, Ari will be coming with that highlight sooner rather than later. But join us now on the phone lines from ESPN Las Vegas, our sister station, of course, the Las Vegas Review-Journal, as well as our good friend Adam Hill. And Adam, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you, my man. And you were in the locker room on Sunday. I was in the locker room on Sunday. We were talking to Mad Max Crosby, and he let it be known how healthy he was not during that game on Sunday. And now you've seen pictures, videos, and kind of really heard what went on with them. How amazed are you that he made it out there on the field on Sunday?
Now that we know, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yep.
You know, he was, I think, you know, it's funny. Max is always so open about what's going on and everything, and he was a little bit, you know, not reserved, but he was kind of saving some of the details, and I feel like he was doing that for the podcast, which is cool, because now we get his feelings and get to share. But I think a lot of us left the locker room thinking there has to be a little bit more to this story. Like, did he get sick and hurt? What's going on? It turned out, you know, they were related. He got got an infection where he was hurt, and he obviously shared that story on the podcast. So a little bit confused when we left the locker room, but
yeah.
Now that we know the details, like, man, it was a wild, wild week for him to be able to get there. You know, spent Thursday night, Thanksgiving night in the hospital, and that's why he was doubtful, but, you know, he was able to go. That was, you know, pretty impressive, and I think there was times where he did not look himself, for sure, but he did get a sack, and I think just him being on the field brings an element of, you know, emotion and leadership to the team that they need.
Do you think that this is something that he's able to get through with a week of rest and relaxation?
I mean, I think it'll be better, right? I mean, especially if the infection was the bigger issue than the injury, and he's been injured for most of the year, you would think that, you know, time would help heal that. On the broadcast, and I'm still a little bit confused as to what exactly he told them, but the broadcast said that Max informed CBS that he needed to have the knee addressed in the off season. Now, whether that means surgery or whether that just means rest is going to help it in the off season, we don't know. I kind of asked, and he, you know, just kind of, you know, we'll see.
Right.
But it sounds like it's something that's going to linger in terms of the injury, but he's been playing through the injury all year. I think it happened week 2 against Buffalo, if I'm not mistaken. So he's been playing with that all year. It's just the fact that it got infected and he had to go in the hospital was the real issue this week. So, yeah, I think the rest will help.
Yeah, I think it will as well. It should be interesting to see how, you know, how he looks the rest of the way. I mean, he's been limited basically in practice the majority of the season, as you mentioned. Again, Adam Hill from the RJ, and of course, our sister station ESPN Las Vegas is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920. So what do you feel like outside of rest and relaxation is most important for this team while they're on their bye week this week?
I mean, it's a good question. I think maybe just like a refocusing. I mean, it's very cliche to say, like, you know, where it is, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, you look over at what you want to get accomplished the last, you know, 5-6 weeks of the season. Is it, hey, try to win every game and maybe make a playoff run? Maybe, but I think even if they won out, I don't know that they'd make it.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to make that your goal, just because it might not be in your hands to be able to do that. So just kind of refocus. What do you want to get done? What do you want to get better at? Where do you want to improve? What do you want to show? What do you want to put on film? And obviously some people are playing for jobs, and including an interim coach. So what do you want to get accomplished these last couple weeks? I think it's a good time to kind of assess that and put some goals out there.
How much do you think this week can help Bo Hardigree kind of go back and look at what worked well and what didn't and kind of assess that and use that moving forward for the final 5 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot. I think it's a lot of self-scout, a lot of evaluation and those sorts of things. And, you know, there's clearly been a pretty strong line of what has worked and what hasn't in terms of they've had long stretches of doing absolutely nothing. They've had some stretches where they looked pretty good and looked in rhythm. And, you know, what is it about those drives, how they start, you know, how you call the plays, you know, those sorts of things that can help you, get better. I think any time you have a week to do that, that's good. Now, it's not like they're going to be able to make, a ton of wholesale changes necessarily because the players aren't there. Like, it's not like they're taking a week off and they're in the classroom and grinding. And, they're out. They're away. They're refreshing their minds. And they're, a lot of them are, I'll say this. I think you'll see some photos on Instagram. Like, a lot of them are at Disney World. There's a lot of, the guys are just not there, and they shouldn't be. They should be using this time for themselves. So it's not like you're in the classroom every day and just trying to change everything. But I think for the individuals, like the coaches, it's definitely a great time to, watch film on yourself. See what you did, self-scout, and then figure out what you can do better.
You've asked Antonio Pierce about challenges. You've asked him about kind of in-game decisions. And I know when the bullets are live, man, that can't be easy. I can only imagine the sweat under his collar while he's trying to come up with a quick second decision. But what have you thought of his, in-play or in-game decisions, and how can he improve that? And maybe this week helps do that as well, just by kind of seeing it on film a little bit more.
Look, I think it's been bad.
Okay, that's fair.
I think there's been some glaring mistakes that have been made. And look, he said when he started, that this is going to happen. It's not perfect. He hasn't done this before, and we get that. And the first challenge that he threw, where he couldn't throw a challenge flag, like, that's just a knowledge of the rules. But again, it's heat of the battle. The one last week, that was egregious. Like, you can't challenge after a second and one that ends up short. Not only because it was short. And it wasn't, you weren't right, but also, it's like, what are you gaining from that situation?
Right.
You've got two more plays to get the first down. It just doesn't make any sense. You've got to understand that. And I think there's been, the end of the first half management in Miami was atrocious. There's just been a lot of glaring things. So it's a learning curve, no question. And hopefully he's learning from those things, and he's studying what he's doing right and doing wrong. And it's a hard process. But this is also, I know that easy to second guess. We're sitting in the press box saying, you can't do this. Oh, my God, he did it.
Right.
Like, it's not like we're second-guessing. We're first-guessing. we know what should happen and what shouldn't, and they, they haven't been able to do that right. This might sound like a joke, and this is a philosophy that I've had about coaches for a while, and there was actually a thesis paper done, and maybe I'll try to dig that up and send it out. But there was somebody actually did, like, a senior thesis. I think it was for an Ivy League school about head coaches need to play Madden more. And
okay.
it sounds silly. And I know on the surface, like, you're like, oh, it's a video game, it's different. But there is a ton of clock management strategies that are in play that actually do apply to the NFL. And, they talk to the guy who's the best Madden player in the world, who said, like, it's not about what plays you call, it's not about how good you can control the game. Madden is 100% about clock management and strategy that actually does apply in the NFL. And it's the same theory that, when poker was taken over by the online players, like, why were they having success? It's because they can see 1,000 scenarios in a day. Instead of, if you play, like, or 10,000 scenarios in a day, instead of if you play, like, 200 or 300 hands in a live table, like, you need that experience for sure, but you need to see a lot of scenarios that you can't just create on your own. And so, like, I'm being a little bit light about it, but I think some truth. Like, if you play a lot of Madden, you start to understand these things.
That's funny. All I can remember is when Bryce Petty was the Jets quarterback, and he said he started to learn how to read defenses when he started playing Madden. And I remember how concerned everybody was when he said that. But maybe Coach.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's
different.
Because computer players, I mean, and look, that's funny, and, it's great, but. Like, computer players are just going to react a certain way. Like, you can't really base what you're actually going to do in a game based on how humans will interact.
Right.
But the clock management stuff, I think, is real. I think it is. I think it's legitimate. And There's things that you can learn and pick up from it, and scenarios that you would never think about on a football field necessarily, and they apply, and you're like, oh, this is how you should do it, this is how you should manage it, you should run the clock down in the situation, you should do this. Like, there are things that apply. I'm not suggesting, you know, when we all play Madden, we're going for it on 4th and 32 from our own 6.
Right.
Like, don't do that. But I'm saying in terms of the clock management stuff, like, there is a lot that applies.
I love it. I love it. Maybe Coach Pierce is spending some time on the Xbox or whatever it is, the PlayStation 5 these days, playing a little bit of Madden. I'm not mad at that if that's what he's doing.
Pass the sticks.
Yeah, pass the sticks. 21 blowout, you pass the sticks. As far as the action on the field, we know there's no Marcus Peters anymore. There's no Roderick Teamer. They were waived on Monday, one for on the field, one for off the field. Does this Marcus Peters hole now, does that open up a door for Jack Jones and maybe Ja'Corian Bennett, the rookie, to get a little bit more burn and see what those guys could do?
I would imagine it does, sure. I think it opens it up for them. And, you know, Ja'Corian obviously was not part of the rotation this past week, but I imagine that changes significantly going forward. We saw Jack Jones out there quite a bit. And, you know, I think in terms of the secondary, I know that there's been some numbers floating around that I don't necessarily agree with because I think some of them are – you know, some different zone reads and things like that. But, you know, the struggles of Nate Hobbs recently have been well documented out there. And I just feel like it is injury related. Like, he's a guy that's dealt with a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think he's 100%. He's going to gut it out. He's not going to complain about it. He's not going to make excuses. He's not that type of person. But I don't think he's anywhere close to full strength. And maybe this off week, some rest and relaxation, some stepping away from the field for a little bit, maybe that helps him. And he can get back to being the player that everybody knows that he is, because he is a really, really good player. The last couple weeks have not really been indicative of what he can do.
Final question for you. I got to ask about Aiden O'Connell. Everyone wants to know, is he, isn't he? There's 5 weeks to prove what he can do, and then the Raiders got to make a decision. What do you think Aiden O'Connell needs to show to the staff to prove that he is the guy?
I think more consistency. I think that's the biggest thing. And I don't, you know, I don't know if that's going to come only because, like, this is what we talked about in the preseason when they drafted at the draft. Right. I remember doing a live show on draft night, and I, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy, you know, from Ann Arbor, yep. So go blue coming up on Saturday. I saw a lot of Aiden O'Connell, and he was the guy in college, and, you know, we talked about this a lot, that would make, like, if you watch the highlights, you would say, wow, this guy is incredible. Mm-hmm. And there's 5, 6, 7 plays a game where you say, why isn't this guy the number one pick in the draft? And then if you watch the game, you would say, oh, I get it. There's like a quarter and a half where you're just not there. It disappears. It doesn't do anything. And then the great throw shows up again. You're like, okay, I get it. And that consistency has been haunting him for a long time back to college. Now, can it change? Sure. Absolutely it can. No doubt about it. You know, we talked – it goes back to – and I'm – trust me, I am not making a comparison. It goes back to Josh Allen – when he could not complete passes in high school, could right. not complete passes in college, could not complete passes his first 2 years in the NFL, figured it out. Like, he was a 50% passer basically through high school and college in his first year in the NFL, and then figured it out. Like, those things happen. Talent eventually wins out sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. But consistency out of Aiden O'Connell is something that's been plaguing him for a while.
Yeah, and I saw that on Sunday, right? There were some passes that he made that were fantastic. Then there was a couple that was like, ooh, you know, I wish he could have had that one back and made a better throw. Yeah. Just, yeah, consistency. I think you hit it right on the head. Great stuff as always. Adam, what are you working on that we should be on the lookout for, my man?
It's bye week, you, so we're taking the week off. No, we're not. we are the first mock draft, Q. It's
oh, my gosh.
Time to start thinking about it.
Wow. Mock drafts already. No, let's do this in December. Not well, it's almost December now. Damn.
Oh, it's a bye week. You got to find content.
I heard that. Well, go on, get your mock draft on. I know you're going to be on Cofield and Company this afternoon. I know you'll do a hell of a job, man. Appreciate you as always.
That's good. Talk to you soon.
All right, brother, there he goes. Adam Hill from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, ESPN Las Vegas, Cofield & Company. He'll be side-by-side with Steve Cofield this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. on our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. Draft already. Mock draft already. It's not December 1st yet. I've been getting spoiled, though, the last couple seasons because we've had so much to talk about where we haven't had to dip into any mock drafts or start calling up, you know, college beat writers and say, hey, what can you tell me about this guy, that guy, or the other. I've been really spoiled with that. I feel like I'm going to keep being spoiled. I don't think that I have to get there yet, right? I don't think that that's the conversation. Now, the Raiders are on the bye week, as Adam pointed out. We all know that. They've got 5 weeks. Now, if all of a sudden they come out the bye week and they, like, lose the first three games, then it's, oh, dang, right? Then it's that time of the conversation. But I think this team is going to go out there and fight and make it competitive where that conversation won't really come up. I know it's – I mean, it's fair to you know, check out college games. I watch college games every single weekend because I like scouting for the NFL. That's what I do. That's the reason why. I have no ties to any college. I love Alabama because they're NFL players, right? I mean, that's just the harsh reality of it. And that's why I watch college football, as a scout, but I'm not deep diving into the draft just yet. I think this Raiders team will be competitive enough where we don't have to do that just yet. Because, man, there's nothing worse than talking about the draft in December 1st, and the draft ain't till April. I'm just saying, like, to keep it fresh. 2:45 is the time. Many thanks to Adam Hill. Definitely appreciate him. Take a quick break. Come back. Close out hour number one just like that. It's Raider Nation Radio, 920.
You're listening to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q. Broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Just had Adam Hill on from the Las Vegas Review-Journal and also our sister station, ESPN Las Vegas. Love the work that Adam brings to the table. Always love having Adam on the show. And he brought up playing Madden. He talked about the coaches need to play Madden, and it wasn't his idea. It was something that he talked about was a thesis that was written by an Ivy League student that was writing a paper, and there was something behind it. And so he brought it up, and he said he started out before he even mentioned it, said, I know this is going to sound silly. I know this is going to sound dumb. People are going to laugh at it. But he just was bringing to the table what he had read, and he said he was even going to go look, see if he could find it, dig it up, and send it out. But, of course, all you got to hear is, well, NFL coaches should be playing Madden, and everyone's going to lose their you-know-what, right? So, pretty good feedback. I knew we'd get some on the don'tbebroke.com text line, and I'm laughing while I'm reading it because I think it's cool. 69187, keyword R&R, and I know Adam got a laugh out of it as well. Hardcore Raider said, Adam Hill lost me at Madden video game, LOL. And then Big Dub Raider Q, I 1,000% respect all your guests, but Adam Hill never ceases to amaze me. Coaches have to play Madden now for better clock management. Oh, boy. Go Raiders. And, again, it was a little bit of not even tongue-in-cheek. It was just kind of an example. The one thing I could say that makes sense, and maybe I'm silly for anything making sense when it comes to that, I've seen where if you do something online or you do something with electronics and then you go back and do it, like, in real life, or you're doing it, you know what I mean, like a game, like he brought up poker and how guys are playing poker online. All of a sudden, these guys master it. Folks can master that stuff online. And then it's way different in person, but those ones that do it online that you ain't never heard of or seen, it's like, hey, why are they so damn good, right? So I understand what he's saying. Again, I'm not going to encourage coaches. I'm not going to say, hey, AP. Like, next time we meet with him, be like, hey, man, were you playing some Madden during the bye week? Like, I ain't going to say that. And I know that Adam wasn't referring to that either. But love the fact that I knew we'd get some feedback on that. And he did, too, when he laughed. And, look, we don't take ourselves too serious around here. We don't get too bent out of shape around here. So that's why I can get a good laugh at it as you hear me laughing. My man Ari's in the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. I'm in the home studio. We call it Studio Q. Of course, the show is being brought to you by the Jewelers of Las Vegas. The question I threw out there on that don'tbebroke.com text line is 69187, keyword R&R. I know it's not a midseason report because it's way past the midseason. They've already played 12 games. But what grade would you give the Raiders on a midseason report card at the semester break? Right, it's almost like the NBA when they go on the All-Star break and they really only have a handful of games left. The All-Star break happens to be late in the season. What kind of report card would you give them? Would you look at the whole body of work and just look at the overall record that they have, 5-7, no matter how they got there? Would you do it like me and start looking at different units? Like, I looked at the defense and said, man, they've been good all year long. I don't care what anybody says. There's been a couple games here and there where they didn't shine, but for the most part, they've given the Raiders a chance to win games all the time. The offense hasn't lived up to their end of the bargain, so is that what the case is, or you know, what do you think? So it's on you, and we've got a lot of feedback. I definitely appreciate it. 69187, keyword R&R. Brad in Concord said, since win-loss records are what really matters in the end besides Super Bowls, and we've heard all our lives that C's are average over and over, I'd put a 500 record as average. Since the team is just below that, I would unfortunately give a C- to D+ so far. That's my logic anyways, and I think that that's fair, right? And that's how I kind of looked at it. I looked at it as around a C-, D+ at best. But the good thing about that, that's not the final grade. Like my teachers used to say, Mr. Myers, that's not your final grade. You can always raise your grade. All you got to do is get a so-and-so, so-and-so on this test. And I said, what's the chances that's going to happen? I haven't done that all year. What makes you think I'm going to pull a rabbit out the hat? Now, I did do this one time. Man, I was determined to get a really good grade on this test, right? So I sat next to the smart dude. And, yeah, you know how that went down. I was able to see everything that he did. So, I filled it. And I didn't do it smart. Yeah, clearly I think I was maybe in eighth grade or ninth grade, whatever the case may be. It wasn't very creative cue. Let's put it like that. I was just going as he was writing down his answers, I was writing down my answers. So I got the same grade as he did. So the teacher came back to me and said, "Hey, you did really well on this test." I was like, "Well, you know, I worked real hard on it." And she's like, "Really?" And so she asked me one question, and I got it wrong. And she asked me another question, I got it wrong. And she asked me another question, I got it wrong. And she's like, "Did you really study hard on this one, or did you have some help on this one?" I was like, "I might have had a little bit of help." So she made me take the test over, and yeah, well, we all know it didn't work very well for me. So that's how it goes, man. At least I was thinking. At least I was trying to do whatever it took to get where I needed to be, right? That's just what it was. I just was not someone that did well in school. But we'd love to hear from you. 702-365-9200 and the don'tbebroke.com text line 69187, keyword R&R. Passionate Raider will let you kick hour number two off next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.